This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning and welcome to The Morning Run. I'm Roshan Gunnison, and in studio with me this morning, Kusi Chuang and Noel Lim. For a second there, I thought maybe I would play an April Fool's joke on the two of you, but I realized that I just don't have the natural charisma to pull it off. Not like you, Chuang.
No, like you do, you know. Everybody does have the charisma. I mean, I felt particularly excited when I woke up this morning and I thought, because of the empty roads, I'm going to drive my Ferrari 812 Scaglietti to work, because it's, you know, that's just what you do when the roads are empty. And the sound of that V12 was just amazing.
Yes, I'm sure, until you meet a roadblock.
No, until I woke up, because then I realised it's April Fool's Day. Then I don't have a Ferrari 812 Scaglietti.
Man, Chuang, I wanted to ask whether I could drive that car out, but...
Can. Yeah. You can come shotgun with me, brother.
Can. I'm not even sure whether it has a top-down, but anyway, I was about to say that. But, you know, speaking of roadblocks, Noel, I did get stopped this morning on the way to work, because today is the start of the second phase of the MCO, and no, it was not a giant practical joke by the government, and they were really strict with it. The cops were super polite about it, and they're like, listen, we're just doing our jobs, do you have your documents, because we're coming in before the hours, right?
Yeah. So what documents did you have to show?
A letter from the company that that we're working at this station, that based on these laws we are essential services, and then the other one is from our regulator MCMC. Just showing the media card wasn't enough.
I see.
Yeah, because they were really confused. They were like, your show starts at 6 o'clock, but it's 5. It's like, yeah, we got to go and prep.
Yeah, I know, the work doesn't amazingly gets done right at home.
Speaking of the show, Noel, what do we have coming up after this?
So we're going to talk about the MCO, stricter phase 2. And so as phase 2 starts, I think Zulkifli, our former health minister, is saying that this is what we really, really need to take seriously. If not, this MCO is just going to continue for a really long time.
Mm-hmm. And Chuang, what about after the 6:30 a.m. news? What will we be covering then?
I could give it a really boring story, lah. It's all about politics and Anwar Ibrahim.
At least
give a young politician, lah, you know.
Sure. Maybe we should have covered something else in terms of maybe side subjects.
I should have done a Doraemon story, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I should have done a Doraemon story. Yeah. That was a completely...
I
really hope that was
an
April
Fool's. That made my day, though. That really made my day yesterday.
I don't know. I didn't know whether to laugh or cry.
Both.
My mother was not pleased when I got home.
Right?
Yeah, she was not pleased. Now... we've got plenty of banter in the tank for the rest of the day. So before we get to all those stories, we're going to be talking about the importance of laughter during tough times and how you find laughter in these moments. If you've got any thoughts or tips on this matter, let us know over on BFM Radio, at BFM Radio, on Twitter, or drop us a message on WhatsApp, 018-789-8899. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, welcome back to The Morning Run. I'm Roshan Kanison. In studio with me this morning, Noel Lim and Kusi Chuang. And that was She and Him with Stay a While. Sorry, I went Bee Gees a little bit there with Stay Alive, but that was not the song. But you know, as the MCO may stay a while, it's important to find out wherever we can laughter to kind of alleviate the mood. Because I think laughter may not be the best medicine. The best medicine is always, well, medicine.
Apple. An apple a day keeps the doctor away.
Money, fame, and notoriety is
best. So yeah, money, fame, notoriety, then medicine, and then laughter.
And then laughter.
No, like, and the COVID-19 vaccine helps.
So, but, you know, it is, I've personally found that finding a laugh or two through the day has been very helpful in maintaining some semblance of sanity. And that's why I've resorted to a lot of friends, the TV show. Not that friends aren't important, regular friends, but the comedies, I find, as long as it gets you to laugh, it really does help you break away from the situation that you're in.
Yeah. Laughter and adversity is always the best solution to the problem. Just going back to friends, I try to remember all 5 of them, right? So there's Ross.
There are 6 of them, by the way.
Oh, there's 6. I didn't really watch a lot of Friends, like, because I thought they're just a bit silly.
Okay, who are the 5 you remember?
I remember Ross. And then, of course, I know, what's her name? The one that used to
Jennifer Aniston with her beautiful hair.
She was the best,
because
she was the hottest, right? Do you know what I mean? And then Courtney Cox is a bit severe. I didn't like her, but I like Jennifer Aniston.
Oh my God, Chandler was my favorite. Chandler is my favorite.
Chandler is a bit, he's a bit uptight, like, isn't he?
No, that's Monica. But I'm talking about them like they're my friends. I've actually hit season 8, and this is, to me, season 8 is peak Friends laughter.
Peak friend, yeah.
Peak friend. But Noel, how about you? How important have you found laughter to be? Or do you have other
It's
other
extremely
things.
Important, I think, laughter and humour. I think that's what I would look for in a man. It's no laughing matter. And that
and you know Noelle values mirth when she names her blog Laughing Tigress, because she was born in the year of the tiger and she's always laughing.
Yes, that's right.
We had a lot of good times on that, didn't we? Yeah,
yeah, so that and what really tickles me is still Mr. Bean.
Yeah. The silent ones, remember? The silent ones?
Yes, the silent ones. Yeah, that just, for me, that's the peak, Mr. Bean.
Mr. Bean, oh, wow. I never watched I used to watch the live-action Mr. Bean when I was really young. But
what's a live-action Mr. Bean?
So the regular TV show. But that was a cartoon as well. They made a cartoon of Mr. Bean.
Yes,
and
right.
I watched a lot more of that. And that was really funny.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't have anyone that can reference at this point in time. But I used to tell myself, as I got older, I would only choose to hang out with two kinds of people, right? Category A was the people that I could learn something from. And category B was people that I could have a bit of a laugh with. And that was my reference point for people that I wanted to meet. And no, yeah. Other than that, I just didn't want to know anybody. Because, you know, people can be very distressing sometimes. Like the ones who put out the Doraemon thing, you know?
That Doraemon. But it made my day yesterday, Joe. Yeah? I think it was... It took social media by the firestorm.
It was hard to try and find humor there because of just the levels of intelligence. But, you know, one finds humor in even the smallest nooks and crannies. Yeah,
yeah. I got home yesterday and the first thing, because we work in news, the first thing my mom says is like, what was the ministry thinking? She was not happy and social media exploded. Just the number of memes.
I saw a few memes. It was quite funny.
And just the, first and foremost, I didn't realize that this had been posted up until opened up Instagram and started looking at stories. And
it was real, right?
There's no
April Fool's joke
that people were putting up. And that's the thing. So part of you is hoping sincerely from the bottom of your heart that this was an early April Fool's joke. And then you'd realize, no, it's not. This is a real... it's a kind of PSA, really, that they've announced.
It was, right?
Yeah. Yes, anyway, they have taken it down. And they have apologized. Doraemon, where women are asked to speak like Doraemon in order to teach or coach your husband to do things in a certain way.
Yeah, that's why sometimes you should make sure that the back door is always closed because you never know what might walk in.
Yes, that's true. It's
great.
True.
Take that how you want.
Do you know what I mean? Nudge, nudge, wink, wink, say no more.
I don't know what you mean, Chuang. I do not know. But I think as we've illustrated here, it's important to find the humor wherever you can, especially in a time it's easy to get stressed out and anxious. And I think we've all got friends who are a bit more susceptible to these sort of things. And it's important to be there for them and finding ways to find that laughter. Now, not a laughing method, though. Up next, we'll be talking about phase two of the MCO. And as it begins, what kind of advice would you give other Malaysians, as well as the as well as thoughts from Dr. Zulkifli about how serious this is? In the meantime, if you have any thoughts here or on this story we were just talking about, let us know over on Twitter at BFM Radio or drop us a message over on WhatsApp at 018-789-8899. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9. Welcome back to The Morning Run. I'm Roshan Kanasan, and in studio with me this morning, Noelle Lim and Kusu Chuang. And that was Run Baby Run by Garbage. And, you know, as phase two of the MCO starts, if you see a roadblock, don't run, baby, don't run. Stop there, because all they're trying to do is their jobs. And if the cops can't do their jobs, the MCO does become a bit less effective. I think we've got a few warnings coming out from, or more like messages from Dr. Zulkifli, who was our previous health minister, sorry. And basically, if we want this to end at some point, we need to all come together to really make this as effective as possible. And I think we've all seen roadblocks come about, especially effective today. The rules do change a little bit in terms of hours that you can be out. I think I was talking a bit earlier that I got stopped on the way to work here at 4:30 in the morning.
Did you flash your best smile and show a bit of leg, Roshan?
No, I flashed my media card, but even that wasn't...
That's what normal people do, Chuang.
Sorry, yeah. I just couldn't resist myself.
But even the media card was not enough, right?
It wasn't enough.
They wanted the formal letters from both MCMC and BFM as the company that these are the acts that have been cited and that this is the purpose of going to work. But I think the cop was really shocked when I told him that I was going to work and I was radioing. He was just like, but it's 5 in the morning. It's like, yeah,
Yang cik, saya kena kita bermula pukul 6.
So what manner of human beings awake at this time of day to go to work?
I think he felt, well, them as well.
Yeah, I think he felt
a bit bad for me. It's like, oh, okay, please go ahead.
Yeah. But was that look of pity on his face?
Yes, a bit of confusion at why I'm awake at this time morning, and then a bit of pity on me.
Sometimes when I wake up in the morning, I look at myself in the mirror, I see pity on my face, and I thought to myself, yeah, you poor soul, you're going to wake up at this time of day. It's really bad.
But it was good to see that they took their jobs very seriously. They were very polite about the entire issue. And all they were trying to do is said, like, they apologized, said, sorry that we're stopping you, but we need to do this. It's part of our job. And I think everyone needs to show a bit of courtesy to the cops during this time.
Absolutely. It's a thankless job, right? You get shouted at sometimes and then you get compounded, basically.
No, you have a story, right? You were telling us yesterday about a roadblock.
So yesterday there was a roadblock. So at 4:30 in the morning. So it was quite simple. I just had to show my media card and they let me through. But today, this morning, same roadblock, but different officers. And so he looked a bit tentative when I showed him my media card. And then he said, where do you work? So I told him. And then he said, where is your workplace? And I told him in Tamantun. And then he said, why so early? And then because morning shift, I think I said shift pagi. Couldn't get the sequence right.
They're also perplexed by our hours.
Yes, and then he's like, and I think he was kind of young. So then I said, I just smiled at him. Then he said, okay, bully priggy. Then I said, okay, thank you.
You did the laughing tiger smile, is it?
Yes, but yesterday coming back from going back home was really a challenge because it took me 1.5 hours.
It was a huge jam, right, you were saying?
Huge jam. Wow. And took about 45 minutes just to clear about 3 kilometers.
Wow.
Because they were letting the trucks go through first. Because these are commercial trucks, so they had to let them through first. There was a separate lane for them. So it was 4 lanes converging into 2 lanes. And then the police, I mean, they just let me through because I showed the media card. But later on, when I looked at the live camera that China Press had, they were standing next to the police and they were just filming what the police were saying. I think in one situation, when a car came up and then the police said, where are you from? He said, I'm from Kepong. He said, you turn back.
What?
Yeah, the police just told him to go back. He didn't ask what's the reason, where you're going, what you're doing here. He just told the guy to turn back. So only people who had some sort of letter or some sort of documentation were allowed through. But otherwise, they said, just turn back. And he even added, I'm not sure whether it was for the sake of the camera, but the police added, he said, if I see you again, I'm going to arrest you.
Wow.
So he was quite firm.
Not many
it.
People knew this, but yesterday and today, March 31st and April 1st, members of finance and admin are allowed to go back to work to issue salary slips and, you know, to arrange gaji for employees. And I didn't know that until my finance told me. So I had to get a letter for her to come and issue checks, basically.
Yeah.
So if you've got, I think, a cogent reason, I think that's a permissible.
Yeah, so just a bit on the Kepong thing there. I think the cops are just trying to maintain that you stay within your area. So if you're going shopping, make sure you're
don't
shopping.
Don't cross states, basically.
Don't cross, not even states. Don't even cross beyond your area within your circle of direct influence. If you've got a shop, a place where you can buy groceries 5 minutes from you, don't go 10, 15 minutes away for the way. They might push you back.
Yeah, so I think the police added later in an interview that I read that that he said there were people coming from Kota Damansara and going to Taman Mega. And he said, what's the point of that? That's just like a Tesco down the road, right?
So
the point is, shop in your neighborhood.
Right. And right now, we're going into the 6:30 a.m. news bulletin. And after that, we're taking a look at a bit of politics, as Chuang called a bit boring earlier. Should this stimulus package be debated in Parliament? Is this something that needs to be brought up right now? If you've got any thoughts, let us know over on Twitter at BFM Radio or over WhatsApp at 018-789-8899. And now to take you to the news, we have the Beatles with Can't Buy Me Love. Stay tuned to BFM 89.9. Welcome back to The Morning Run. I'm Roshan Kanasan with Noel Lim and Kusa Chuang in studio this morning, and that was Modest Mouse with Float On. And right now we're taking a look at some of the news in the portals and the papers, including with a bit of focus on the story in Malaysia Kini about whether about Parliament's involvement in the stimulus package, right? So basically, should the stimulus package be debated in Parliament? This is something that we touched on a little bit with YB Nick Nazmi when we hit him on the phone. I guess the question is, Anwar's trying to reassure Dato' Sri Anwar that there won't be any other things that happen if they go to Dewan Rakyat.
Yeah, I know, I was on Facebook Live yesterday and he pointed out that he wouldn't use the May 18th parliamentary session to basically challenge Perit Qatar National's majority in parliament. And quite rightly so. I mean, this is not a time for politicking or politics. It's a time for financial respite for most Malaysians. And he said that, he basically said that there should be some kind of parliamentary affirmation of the 250 billion ringgit stimulus package. And he also pointed out that when he was finance minister, you know, last century, he also went to parliament to get approval from parliament for the 2 billion ringgit bailout of Pawaja Steel, even though as finance minister, he had the authority to disperse the funds. So he feels that something along the lines is necessary here. But he also did underline the fact that early April is when as much money can go out to needy people as possible.
I think, yeah, I mean, in this time, you know, all the effort and attention should be on fighting our, you know, this public health issue, right? And so, yeah, political instability is the last thing that we need. That's the last thing, the economy and also the stock markets, that's what they need. So, yeah, and this thing, I think the bigger issue here is really about, should they debate this 250 billion ringgit stimulus package? Yes, I think for sure. But then the question is, you know, you can debate, right? But how meaningful would the discussion be? But I suppose in the name of transparency, it's better to put it out there and have questions answered, you know, questions from the MPs. But I would certainly like a more meaningful debate in Parliament, not just now, but, you know, even in future.
Well, yeah, these kinds of things have to happen because of the way the timelines have been so compressed by this COVID-19, you do get the sense that a lot of the package has just been rushed out. And I think what the debate does, it starts the thought process to then make you think, okay, how are we going to get this done? What are the logistics involved? Just like how when we try and prepare for a discussion with a senior ranking cabinet minister, there does appear to be some kind of like hurriedness about the package. And It does start the thought process going and about the long-term implications as well.
But having said that, now there are some grassroots efforts. So one of them is Project Wawasan Rakyat. I think like Tricia Yeo, for example, is involved in that alongside with other NGOs. And what they're trying to do is to, like, you know, if there's anything that the MCO, any guidance that's given out under this MCO, Project Wawasan Rakyat would try to, you know, include some proposals. For example, I think one of them is the one where they are now stopping NGOs from delivering food to the elderly and to people in need. They have come up with alternative suggestions like, you know, why don't you have a select committee of some sort and where you involve the NGOs and not just one agency to distribute food, but to actually decentralize the effort.
Yeah, I think when it comes to an effort as big as this, I mean, even the US stimulus package went through Congress, right? And then it was voted in by the, it came through the Senate and it's supposed to, and was voted in by Congress. There was still some, because end of the day, it revolves around the use of public funds. Now to the degree of it and is obviously in question, right? Like how much time, the timeliness of dispersing that money. But I think when we were talking to YB Nick Nazmi, one of the things he pointed out was that you already have the select committees, economic select committees in Parliament that you could have consulted to look at the range of issues. Because right now we're seeing a lot of flak from the SME sector that they were not covered well enough, or maybe there were certain areas, certain gaps that could have been covered if there was some more discussion beyond the current circle of influence in the government.
Yeah, I mean, the direct injects, there's only about 25 billion ringgit, but there's lots of leeway and room for the government to introduce additional stimulus packages. I mean, America, you know, 2 days ago was already saying that there could be additional stimulus packages coming on top of the $2 trillion that is forthcoming from Congress. So there's always room for that. And we have the Economic Action Council, which, of course, Tunku Zafrul is part of as well. And that comprises members of industry.
Yeah, I think it always comes down to the principle of the matter, right? Is it with this level of this big of a decision, should it be left in the hands of the executive office alone, or do we have our representatives in parliament debate it out, even if it does take more time to get it done?
Having said that, I know this week, so that the SMEs have been grumbling that they're not getting enough support, right? So I think this week, there's been a lot of discussions going back and forth between various SME associations, including the F&B and maybe some of the hoteliers and retailers. And so we might expect next week more announcement for SME. So I think as long as that there's some process of inclusivity and the government is showing that they are listening, I think that's at least one step And like you say, we're working on a very compressed timeline.
Yeah, I think Tengku Dato' Zafrul had a webinar with some SME members yesterday morning. So maybe, hopefully, they will see some new stuff come out later this week or early next week. I guess we'll see. Right now, we're going into a few messages. And when we come back, we'll be taking a look at the papers and the portals. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9. Welcome back to The Morning Run. I'm Roshan Kanesan with Kusu Chuang and Noel Lim in studio this morning. And that beautiful track right there was Valerie by the late Amy Winehouse. Actually, one of my favorite tunes to listen to. It's a very...
A real protege, but a sad ending at 27, just like Kurt Cobain and other notables.
Chris Cornell.
Jim Morrison as well.
So many. I mean, if we started that list, we'd be going on for a while, actually.
And, the best die young.
Oh, man. But let's talk about happier news, I guess. But I guess we shouldn't be looking at the papers for that.
Yeah, it's April Fool's Day, right?
Mm-hmm. It is indeed April Fool's Day. And I think we tried to start the day off with a bit of humor. And now we're hitting reality right now with the papers in front of us. And I think no paper really hits as hard right now as the front page of the Metro. I got a real shock when I took a look at it just now. Noel, why don't you explain what I'm talking about here?
Yes, it's got a really gory picture of a body of a dead man. But the good thing is it's fake news. And so that's the intention of this headline, to show that that you know, if any news that's too extreme, there's a good chance that it is it's fake. So I think so they're trying to tell the public to be more discerning. But there's also another bigger headline here. So follow the MCO rules, especially during the roadblocks, and don't lose your temper. I know. Like, for example, I was stuck in the traffic for 1.5 hours yesterday, and just like 45 minutes just to clear 3 kilometers. So, you know, you could be fined if you yell and scream and insult the police, who's really trying to do their job. So there's an example here. A woman has been fined 10,000 ringgit and jail time, 3 months, for insulting the police.
Wow, yeah. I mean, 1.5 hours or 45 minutes in a car in a jam is bad, but just imagine that the cops have to be standing up there for the entire day or during their shift, like the 10, 12-hour shifts.
Yeah, I've got the Star Online in front of me, and I think this bears explaining, because the front page of the Star talks about how the Women Family Development Ministry is apologising for the Doraemon posters. So yesterday, what went viral on social media was the fact that the relevant ministry urged women folk to, when scooped up due to the MCO, to dress up, to speak, like to interact with their husbands like Doraemon, and I think to be attractive to their partners. And of course, that drew a firestorm. I couldn't believe my eyes when I saw that. So now the relevant ministry has apologized for those Doraemon posters, but the memes are already out there. The damage has been done.
So yeah, this was something they posted on, it was actually a series of posts that they posted on.
There was more than one.
There was one about dressing up and wearing makeup. There was one
about... And that was for, because when you're working from home.
Yes, working from home. I think there was another one about... chores, I can't remember, but yes, the Doraemon one has gotten the most amount of attention, because essentially it was how to talk to your partner, but then in brackets they're like, use
like Doraemon's
voice and follow his...
Can you try and mimic Doraemon's voice?
I cannot remember.
And for the life of me, I was like wondering, how does that sound? And so I think a friend of mine put it on Facebook to say, I bet you most of you are not checking out how Doraemon sounds like.
Yeah, actually this is great marketing for Doraemon, because now people are going to be nostalgic and a lot of time on their hands and maybe watching some Doraemon. But I think this illustrates, I think personally for me, it's a bit sad, because we went from a very capable Women and Family Affairs Ministry that wouldn't have made... I mean, they had their issues. I mean, there were things that we wanted them to push faster and go further.
I think like child marriage.
Like child marriage is one, but even like the sexual harassment acts, which were actually supposed to be tabled in Parliament this time around. But I guess that's history right now.
That's why sometimes you got to close your back door. You never know what might crawl in, right?
Unwanted, like snakes.
Guess that's something that that political infighting will lead to, right? You don't really watch your six there. I've got two other papers in front of me. I've got the Sinar Harian, which is a headline, Sering Keluar Rumah Punca Utama Dijangkiti COVID-19. I think basically trying to illustrate the point, if you go out, that's one of the main sources that you could get infected.
Well, speaking about snakes and animals, Straits Times on the front page is about Zoo Negara. Due to the MCO, there is obviously now donors fatigue, right? If anything, donations are going into Ministry of Health to help them buy their equipment. So the Zoo Negara has been really badly hit financially, and they're now appealing for funds to help them take care of the animals. I mean, the last thing we want them to do is to release any of these animals, you know. So, yeah, so the Zoo Negara needs help. So if anyone is really keen to help out, please do donate to them.
Yeah, the business pages are going with the fact that the World Bank has cut Malaysia's full year 2020 GDP forecast to minus 0.1%, which might seem initially alarming, but it's actually not too bad in the context of where the rest of the world is. So
I'm thinking they're being too kind to us.
Yeah, but it is what it is, and right now that's as far as they can see.
Yeah, and I guess just to keep in mind that they could revise it down again. This is not an uncommon thing. It's just with the current situation at hand and the data they have, this is the current projection they have. If things continue to show up and data sets keep coming up, we could see that either maybe reflect upwards or go down if things get worse, right? And speaking of things getting worse, I've got the Malaysian Reserve in front of me. And yes, they did cover the fact that the World Bank is seeing a contraction in our GDP. But the World Bank also talks about how we'll see a 6.4% growth in 2021, maybe off a lower base effect. I'm not sure on that. But the more important one here on the right side of the paper is retrenchment in tourism, aviation sectors, and SMEs on the cards. Now, I think this is something they spoke to the Malaysian Employers Federation ED, Dr. Shamsuddin Badan. I think this is some of the concerns from businesses right now. Tourism and aviation were always going to be hard hit by this. But the SME sector, as we've been covering over the last few days, is also crying out for help, really. And the biggest thing is just cash flow to pay employees.
Exactly. That's the biggest wage bill, right?
You know, business owners are obviously concerned because if a company runs out of funds, they have to fork out the money personally.
Yeah, and maybe that there is the gap that needs to be addressed in the stimulus package, and maybe we'll see something at the end of the week or later next week. Right now, we're going into the 7 a.m. news bulletin, and after that, a look at world markets and the updates around there. To take you to the 7 a.m. news, though, we've got Elton John with I'm Still Standing, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.